Spirit. Amen. We're not going to delay the time today. Amen. There is a word from the Lord.
Amen.
We are in an interesting frame of time. And I just want to talk just a little bit on a subject here that I think is pertinent. Most of y'all know we've been talking about learning to love like Jesus all year. We kind of brought that to some conclusion on last week. Not that you could ever really do that, because we still don't love that way yet, but we're heading in that direction. Amen. And God is working some things out. He's teaching us some things. I'm learning all kinds of stuff. You don't know. See, just because God has someone preach doesn't mean that they're not learning at the same time. Amen. Because you don't ever get grown. You continue to be a child of God. Amen. So we are continuing to grow in His grace. Amen. So for today, we're just going to turn the corner just a little bit. Talk about, this is some kind of, I would call it, spiritual housekeeping. We have to be reminded of some of the stuff going on around us in the world so we can have a biblical way of looking at what we're seeing and some things the saints need to have called to their mind. I would imagine these are the kind of things that were being discussed when Messiah was revealed, that they had to understand what does it mean that he came and that he was crucified on the cross and that he got out of the grave, rose with all power and dispatched us into the world. Now here we are in a Roman system of government who still hasn't changed much, even though Christ has come, he's been crucified, buried, and risen, and we've been dispatched to go out and teach all the nations, and it looks like the government hadn't changed. Everything up there, we would say it today, if this had happened in America, we'd say up on Capitol Hill, everything's going on just like it was yesterday. There's been no difference between what happens. A few folk up there got saved, but not too many. And it's business as usual coming from Rome. See, that's what they would have said back then, as the disciples went out and continued to preach. They would say up at the temple, everything seems to be business as usual. You know, they went and preached, of course, up there, and thousands got saved when Peter preached, remember that? And they ended up getting stricken with persecution and driven out of Jerusalem eventually. So they had to have some interesting things going through their mind about what condition is this that we're in here. They weren't sure at first, as you recall, and in the book of Acts, they said, Lord, is it at this time that you'll restore the kingdom to Israel? They're still looking for the kingdom. Why? Because we know you're the Messiah. We have seen you give sight to the blind, heal the sick, raise the dead. We saw you call Lazarus up out the grave after 4 days, which nobody could do that but God. See, we saw all that. We saw the man with the withered hand, all that stuff that went on, and we know you are Messiah. So are you going to restore the kingdom now, Lord? They asked when it was 40 days after he'd been seen. Jesus told them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has put into his own power, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and into Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. He let them know you have a global mission. That didn't really sink in right away. Okay, we heard that. Kind of went, phew. And then they were, 10 days later was the day of Pentecost, was fully come. It says in the book of Acts chapter 2. And the 120 were all together in one place. And it went from 12 to 120. That's 10 times 12. In just 10 more days they were all together in one place. And then it says, and there came from heaven as a rushing, the sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues of fire sat up on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, and that was a special event where God was birthing the church being led by the power of the Holy Spirit. And from then all the way till today, the church has been in the world. Prior to that, and that's going to bring us to our lesson, I just wanted to give that little brief exposition. You know that story anyway. I'm just refreshing your memory. Isn't that something? A lot of what you hear is stuff you already know. It's just refreshing your memory. So we need to talk just today for a little bit, because it's been since that time when the church was born up until now, 2019 years roughly. A little short of that, actually. About 2,000 years, this institution, which I should say is an organism, not an institution, because it's living human beings who believe. The building is you and me. We are the building of God. And the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Peter said we are living stones. We're one stone in the building of God. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? And we're martyred together. The martyr is the Holy Ghost. He keeps us all together in the building of God. See, and since that time, before that time, let me not get ahead of myself. Before that time, there were two divisions from the time of God's call to Abraham up until that time when Jesus came. And that was after Abraham's time, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes became known as Israel, which were named after Jacob. Remember that? He wrestled with the angel. And then he touched him in the socket of his thigh. And he said, because you have wrestled with God and prevailed, I'm changing your name to Israel. See? And so he was called Israel, and he walked with a limp from then on. See?
Yep.
Even when he was leaning up on his staff, about to take up his bed, his feet in his bed, and give up his last breath, Israel leaned up on his staff and blessed the sons of Israel. Told them what will befall you in the latter days. See? And from that time, clear on up until Jesus came, there was that division known as Israel and the Gentiles. Because everybody else was a Gentile. See? Interesting, isn't it?
Yep.
So there were only two sets of folks after that time, Gentiles and Jews. When Jesus came, he came to ratify every promise that God had made to the sons of Israel. He himself coming from the sons of Israel, from the tribe of Judah that we just sang about. From the tribe of Judah, he was a lion of the tribe of Judah, he's called. And primarily what that means is he came out of Judah, which Jacob had prophesied in Genesis 49:10. And this is not on your handout here. Genesis 49:10, Jacob leaning up on his staff just before he died as he's blessing the sons of Israel. He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, neither a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And that was a prophecy that Messiah would come from the seed of Judah. That's why the southern kingdom was called Judah. We sing about that. We lift up praise to Judah. Why? Because Judah is where the lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus the Christ, would be born.
All right.
See, that was hidden, cloaked in prophecy throughout all the generations of Israel. So think about this. The fact is that Israel and the Gentiles existed until it was fully ratified who Jesus was. God fulfilled that promise. He came to his own, the Bible says. And what? His own received him not. But unto as many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God, even those that believe on his name. That would describe the church. But now think about this. There was a change when we came to be known as the church. There was a transition from Israel as a nation to the church. What was that transition? The transition was both Jews and Gentiles now who trust in Messiah, Yeshua, the Old Testament name would be, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Hebrew. That's Jesus the Messiah in English.
Yep.
See, y'all say, Pastor Ben speaking in tongues up there. Yeshua HaMashiach.
Yes.
Is Messiah the Prince, so to speak. That's the Mashiach Nagi that Daniel talked about. Another name for Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Living God. From that time on, he ratified what we call the church. The church, that term in the Greek is ekklesia. You all and I are the ekklesia. That means the called out ones. You've been called out to trust and believe in Messiah. Along with the Jews. The Jews are a part of the church, the believing Jews. And the reason I wanted to talk to you about this today is there's a lot of talk in the news about Israel. And you and I need to understand, what does it mean? We're not against Israel. God was never against Israel. He never will be, is the truth. And if they didn't receive him, that's not his fault.
Right.
If Israel did not accept Christ, is God at fault? No. So we have to understand, you got to understand, that's why Paul wrote in Romans chapter 9 that not all Israel is Israel. There's some Israel who reject Christ.
Yeah. All right.
The nation of Israel rejects Christ as a whole. There's some individual Israelites who know that Jesus is the Christ, and they are a part of the church. And he is the Messiah. The only way you can be saved today is to be a part of the church.
That's right.
It's not a matter of were you born in the seed of Abraham, because a lot of folks were born in the seed of Abraham, even in the Old Testament, that were not considered the covenant people. Is that true? How about the Ishmaelites? They came from the seed of Abraham, didn't they?
Yeah.
But they were not considered the covenant people. There are some other people. There were sons of Keturah who were born in Genesis 25 when Abraham married again Keturah after the death of Sarah.
Yep.
And he had six more sons.
Right.
And they had a whole bunch of them, six of them, there's all kind. Read Genesis 25 when you get a minute. And all those nations were born out of the seed of Abraham, but that did not make them Israelites. See? So that's why Paul says not all Israel is Israel. That makes up all the Semitic people, the Arabs, and all the people in the Middle East who occupy the Middle East right now. So what I'm trying to get around to is I want you to be able to distinguish between who is true Israel and people who are being called Israel, because we need to know that, because we're in a tricky time, and it's time for the church to put her smarts on, put her thinking cap on, and understand what God said in the Word. What God said is what's going to stand when the heavens and earth have passed away.
Amen.
See, the other stuff is sinking sand. See, but we got to stand on Christ, the solid rock. I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So this is one of those kind of messages today to help you identify the solid rock from the sinking sand. We need to understand, because we hear a lot about Israel. Now, let's go on and go on record and say that the nation of Israel, God is still protecting. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're saved.
All right.
The ones who are saved are the ones who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And believe that God has raised him from the dead. Those are the ones who are saved.
Amen.
There are some people who are saying that they're Israelites, but they don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the dividing line, because Jesus said there are only two families in the whole earth, and we've been talking about this. That's those who trust me and the ones who don't.
That's right.
That's right.
He says in Matthew chapter 12, to give you a verse 30, that he who is not with me is against me. He who is not gathering with me scatters abroad. So you're either gathering with him, that means you're part of the church, or you're scattering abroad, that means you're teaching something else that has no ability to save, no power, not energized by the Holy Ghost, not in line with God's word, with the scriptures from Moses to Malachi, nor from Matthew to Revelation, because all of that is scripture. There are some people say, oh, we believe the Old Testament, we don't believe the New Testament. Well, you better believe that there's only one way to be saved. I want to be black and white, point blank clear. Because I don't want you to ever go to hell and say, oh, Pastor Fisher said. No, Pastor Fisher said what God says in his word. Pastor Fisher said that Paul said, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So it doesn't make any difference what nationality you relate to, what ethnic group you relate to, any of that. It has nothing to do with that. That's why he told the Galatians, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female. Has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, do you trust God, believe that he gave his son Jesus, who was crucified on Calvary according to the scriptures, who was buried in the grave for 3 days and nights, who got up with all power in his hands after 3 days, and I showed himself alive, that I am the Christ, and I have the keys to death and hell. Do you trust him?
Oh, yes, I do.
If you do, that's when you're saved. Anything else you believe is that sinking sand we were talking about. If your faith is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, and you can say, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand, now you're building on the rock. We got to be in the truth, in the word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, knowing the truth is what's going to make you free.
Amen.
Free from what? Worry, doubt, any of that. Concern about anything in the world. I can have a peace that passeth all understanding if I keep my mind stayed on him. Perfect peace, Isaiah said. See? And how do I know? Because I looked in his word. There it is. Not because anybody else said anything. See, so you got to be careful today when you hear about Israel in the news. What Israel are they talking about? Are they talking about Israel who's a part of the church? Or are they talking about the nation of Israel? Now, I'm not against either one. God isn't against either one. I want to be very clear. God would like the Israel who doesn't trust Christ to repent and believe the gospel in order that they may be saved.
Amen.
But you got to be able to discern, me and you as Christians, believers in the gospel, have to be able to discern. You don't get a free pass just because you are of Israel.
No way.
What gives you a free pass is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah.
Yes.
Milo.
Who has already come.
Jesus.
All right.
Now, this is not a New Testament teaching. And I want to put this on record so that Jews who may be hearing my voice, however they are, can understand we're not trying to exclude you. You're excluding yourself if you don't trust Christ.
Right.
If you don't believe that God has already sent the Messiah, you are excluding yourself.
That's right.
You must trust in the Messiah and believe that God raised him from the dead, which is the proof he is the Messiah.
Yeah.
And whoever believes in him will not perish. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. Those who do not believe in Christ, it goes on to say, are condemned already because they have not believed in the only begotten Son of God. See, there's only one name under heaven, Peter preached in the book of Acts, that's given among men whereby we must be saved. He said, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It was the Father's good pleasure that all the fullness should dwell in him, the scripture says. There's no other way. We want to be black and white, point blank clear on that. But let's look here quickly in the Old Testament. You don't have to stand. I'm just going to read it. You can read with me if you like. Hosea 3:1. This is Old Testament. Then said the Lord unto me, go yet, he's speaking to Hosea the prophet, go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for an homer of barley, and for an half of homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. Sounds like a wedding, doesn't it? For the children of Israel, notice this, verse 4, shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. A lot of history in that. It's profound. That's the entire third chapter of the book of Hosea. And in that chapter it tells a lot about Israel as we know her today. The Lord said unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend. In other words, she's dealing with somebody else, but yet she's an adulteress. The term adulteress in the scripture means someone who is not faithful to her God. It has earthly meanings as well. We know what that means. But But we're saying in terms of a spiritual meaning, it has to do with someone who is unfaithful to their God. God loved you, but you didn't love him back. You put up other gods and put other things before him. So idolatry is what it amounts to.
Oh, yes.
Spiritual idolatry. So he said to Hosea, you go and do this. Now what happened in the beginning of the book, he told him to marry a harlot because this is how he felt. Because his own nation was unfaithful to him. They saw all the Gentiles going after different kinds of gods and looked like they were really enjoying themselves. Boy, they having fun over there. Look what they're doing. And we want Dagon and all these phony gods. They look like they offer you pleasure in, on the earth. But our God is distant. We don't know much about him. We would rather do what they're doing down here and put on a big show. See? And they went and got tangled up in all that.
Yep.
So it was like an unfaithful woman who wouldn't be faithful to her God. Now, you know, they had already in their history rejected God from being their king.
Yep.
Sure. Back in the book of Samuel, he said, oh, we want a king like everybody else. So you know what God said, you know what, Samuel, they haven't rejected you.
Nope.
They rejected me.
Yeah.
So go ahead, give them a king. Know what they did? They picked Saul. Oh, he's a big, tall, handsome fella with flaming hair. And, you know, he looks so good. Oh, we're going to be so good with him in the office. We got folk with flaming hair that we put in offices. You know, they look good. Boy, they got money. They got 49 Lear jets and so on and so forth. But are these the people that are people after God's own heart?
No.
So we've been doing that a long time. That ain't nothing new. Israel said, well, let's get him. He'll go look at him. He's looking good. See? And they got him, and boy, was he a loser. Oh, he was a loser. He went trying to take Samuel's place, make the sacrifice, jumped in all kinds of spots where he didn't belong, got himself in big trouble, ended up committing suicide. Terrible situation.
Yes.
But he looked good. Oh, he's looking good. He didn't look so good on his own sword. Terrible situation, but God said, go and anoint David, the son of Jesse. He's a man after my own heart. And they went and got David, and he erected David to be the king. So God had promised David that through your seed, like he promised Abraham, I will bless the whole world through your seed. You will not lack a king to sit up on your throne, David. You're going to have a king throughout the ages of time. Now, think about it. David went on, and David didn't necessarily do everything right, but he did love God. He trusted God. He went away and he done some stuff that wasn't right, but he got back right before it was all done. He repented.
Yes,
he wrote some of the greatest songs of repentance that you ever want to read in the Psalms, the sweet psalmist of Israel, as he came to be called. He knew that when I mess up, I got to go back to God and get it right. I got to go back and get it right. See? It's not sufficient for me to stay stuck in sin. See? That problem everybody has to struggle with. There are times you got to go back to God and say, Lord, I didn't do it right. I blew it, Lord. Forgive me. Set me back up. Give me another chance. And God is quick to mercy, the Bible says. Plenteous in mercy. So David knew how to come back. Long story short, Israel went on after David, and after Solomon, David's son, God allowed him to reign. They had a united kingdom throughout the reign of David, throughout the reign of Solomon. And then after that, the kingdom was torn in two. And there was a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. They started to fall apart from the inside. Mainly because of spiritual hypocrisy and separation. Somebody said, well, we don't like worshiping down here. We're going up to Samaria. They're kicking it up there. So, you know what? The majority said, we're going with you.
Yep.
And 10 of the tribes went up there and set up in Samaria.
Yeah.
And they set up their own God. Let's put us a golden calf in here. Let's get some really religious stuff going on up here. See? And they worshiped the golden calf. And had sacrifices and all that. And needless to say, that didn't last. Only two tribes stayed in the southern kingdom. And guess who that was? Benjamin and Judah. Judah stayed where they were supposed to be. In fact, that's where they get the name for their faith. Judaism. Come from the tribe of Judah. They stayed there, and Benjamin means son of my right hand. See, isn't it interesting that Christ is the son of God's right hand? And he come from the tribe of Judah. And Benjamin, the son of my right hand, was right there with the in the southern kingdom. That's revoked from our story, but it's just interesting to hear it.
Yes.
That the two tribes that remained were Benjamin and Judah in the southern kingdom. Okay, and we learned about that. This is not a whole crash course on that. Let me get back to my train of thought. So what happened in the northern kingdom in 722, because of their rebellion against God, they ended up getting taken into captivity by Assyria, smitten and destroyed. And, you know, they flew every which way. Some of them ran back where they should have been. People talk about the lost tribes. Yeah, some of them, they said, we're getting out of here. We're going back where we're supposed to be. And they went back to the southern kingdom. And all the tribes were there of anybody who survived that didn't make it from the northern kingdom when it was busted up.
Yep.
See, and I'm giving you kind of a crash course in what happened in the history of Israel. The rest of the tribes went back, and eventually they started idolatry up in the southern kingdom. Until God said, okay, enough of that. In 586 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came in and took the southern kingdom out, destroyed the temple, and burned it to the ground with fire. And that was by God's permission. God allowed it because they didn't worship him properly. They didn't obey him properly.
Amen.
See? So he said, you know what? You're prancing around in the temple. I'm not impressed. If you don't have me in your heart, you're not doing what I told you. Break it up. I don't need that. You know what? God will do that again. If anybody's prancing around thinking, oh, look how spiritual we are, God hates it.
Yeah.
We let you know. But God knows you're not spiritual.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if I don't give you spirituality, if you will, or give you a pass by my grace, you are not acceptable to me.
Yeah.
And you need to know I'm unacceptable.
Yeah.
Else, that's why God gave his son.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody was acceptable, all those rituals and all that stuff, then I would accept you. But that's not acceptable to me. Why? Because it's tainted. It's just like Aaron's sons came before the altar and offered up strange fire, the Bible says, before the Lord. And fire came out from the altar and burned them both up right in front of the altar. God says, I don't play that. Don't play with me. I have a standard. You break my standard, and I'm not happy with you about it. My standard is higher than you can keep. That's why I gave you a sacrificial system. So Hosea here, just to put this in a nutshell, tells us that he says, moving on, he says he bought her back. He went bought the woman that was an adulteress back for 15 pieces of silver. And he bought her home, said, you shall not play the harlot anymore, and you shall not be for another man, so also will I be with you. In other words, he continued his vow, even though she had done him wrong. For the children of Israel, notice verse 4, prophetic. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without teraphim. Now that verse is loaded. We don't have time to unpack it entirely. But just let me say this, that they have abided for many days, ever since the temple was burnt in 70 AD, which Jesus prophesied in Matthew 24, that this temple that y'all think is so great is coming down.
Yep.
It's going to be not left one stone here upon another.
Right.
That will not be thrown down, Jesus said. See, and you know what, that happened in 70 AD. The Romans came in, tore the temple down, burned it with fire, dismantled every stone, and threw it apart. And there was not one stone left upon another.
Right.
And since then, there's been no temple in Israel. No place to make a sacrifice. Guess what else? There has been no king. They don't have a king now. They have a prime minister. They don't have a prince. Why? Because if you don't have a king, guess what? You ain't going to have a prince. They have no sacrifice. Why? Because there's no temple, no altar, nowhere to make a sacrifice to God, according to the law of Moses, which you must do 3 times a year. Deuteronomy 16:16. Make yourself a note. Read it. 3 times a year, all your males over 25 shall appear before the Lord your God, and he shall not come empty. In other words, don't come without a sacrifice.
That's right.
Has been none since 70 AD.
Right.
Because the temple was dismantled. Where are you making no sacrifices?
Right.
See what I'm saying? He said they will be without ephod. That's something that a priest wears. In the process of true worship to God, you need a priest. And without teraphim. These are the teraphim or angels that overlook the activity of the temple. See, that's a rank of angels, and it's in the plural. So there has been none of that for many days. How many? Since 70 A.D. up to this very second. You know one thing the Jews are planning to do right now? Build a temple. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we haven't had one since 70 A.D. Okay. Somebody's realizing we're out of fellowship with God. No wonder we're having so much trouble. Mm-hmm. But you're having trouble really because you rejected the Christ,
right. The
Messiah. So you and I, when we hear Israel, we need to know what Israel are you talking about?
Right.
Are you talking about the Israel that trusts in their Messiah, the Christ? Or are you talking about the Israel that's still in apostasy that is waiting on God to finally wake them up? Because the scripture tells us a lot about existing national Israel. Number one is that they are basically being preserved because God has promises to keep to their forefathers. He will turn them around. It says in Romans 11 that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so that's been going on for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
That there's been Gentile and Jewish salvation. Whoever trusts Christ can be saved. But there's still a nation of Israel that God is preserving because of his promise.
Yes.
Even though they are not saved, they are not the covenant people any longer in the sense of salvation.
Yes.
Because they have no mode of making a sacrifice or being obedient to God's word. But they're still there because in the latter days, God is going to turn them around so that they can believe. Read on. Let's see what it says here. It says, after all of that in verse 4, afterwards in Hosea 3 and 5. Now that means after the period, which I would say this verse between 3:4 and 3:5 is the period of the times of the Gentiles. And it's going to be after that time. Shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God? Notice this, and David, their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Who is the son of David?
Jesus.
See, they've been without. They said, because God made a promise to David, it wouldn't be true if Jesus is not the son of David. Because David, he told him, there won't be a time that you don't have a son seated on the throne.
Yeah.
Y'all understand that?
Yeah.
So when Jesus came, he was buried after he was crucified, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights. And guess where is he now? What the Bible say? He is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us.
Yes.
He is the king, the seed of David.
Yes, he is.
And he's seated at the right hand of God. God's promise is still good.
Yes.
David's son is sitting on the throne. See, and you believe the son of David or you don't. They have not had a king, not a priest, not a sacrifice, not any of that ever since. And that should be a wake-up call. I hope this message is a wake-up call to some of the Jews. Because God's not the problem. The problem is you. You have to accept Messiah. Whether you be Jew or Gentile. Whether you be anything, name something. You can't be but one of those. Jew or Gentile. And so it's very important that you and I realize that. And understand that the world calendar keeps record of the time. And I would call that time period the apostasy of Israel. Why? Because they rejected the Christ. So that period is apostasy. That word means to fall away from the truth. They are the covenant people who willfully rejected Jesus the Christ, just as it had been stated in the Old Testament scripture. That's what Hosea said. You were going to reject him and be apostate. You were going to go after other gods, which accurately and graphically described in stunning detail hundreds of facts. The Old Testament did describe hundreds of facts about the coming, the life, and the rejection of the Messiah. All of that is written in the scripture, which brought about this current situation on earth where the church, which is who Jesus came to set up and ratify to preach to the ends of the earth, which consists of all people who believe in Messiah Jesus, of both Jews and Gentiles, has been spreading the gospel throughout all the world ever since, up until this very second, which was also written in the Old Testament. That's what Hosea summarized in chapter 3. He said it would be like that.
Yeah.
So we should expect to see that is what the prophets said.
Yeah.
Secondly, the sad reality is that just as Israel got caught up into themselves to the point that they became self-reliant, rather than God-centered and dependent, the scriptures also teach and warn the church against following the same demonically induced, satanically engineered, destructive system of phony religion, which shall infect the world church to enter into apostasy, which characterizes the end times.
Right.
So that's why you and I have to have a wake-up call.
Right.
We need to be aware the church is going to go into apostasy.
That's
one of the signs before the Antichrist arises. There'll be a great falling away. That's what Paul said. And the man of sin will be revealed. So you got to know what's going on in D.C. They're saying, oh, how wonderful it is that the president has allowed Israel to claim Jerusalem as the capital. Yes, it is. God knew that would happen, but is that a good thing necessarily? Not necessarily. You know what? Who's going to be in that temple when they build it? Is it going to be the Messiah? No. You know who's going to be in there? The Antichrist. The man of sin. The scripture says that. The Messiah already came. So whatever preparations you're making is going to be for the man of sin. The church better know it. When you hear about Israel, you better know what the scripture says. See, it's, this should be a wake-up call. I hope it is. Now let's look what Paul told the Thessalonians, because they were deceived too at that time. Back then, right after Christ had come, the gospel had now made it to Thessalonica. It went through many cities, many places here in 2 Thessalonians 2. Paul said, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's what Jesus last said before he took off, before he was crucified. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So they were looking for him to return. When he went in the grave and got up, that's why he said, Lord, is it at this time you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? No, it's not for you to know. He didn't know there would be 2,000 years of church history. You're just getting it started. It's been effective because you and I are saved by the same gospel. You see, so Paul writing to the Thessalonians said, verse 2 in 2 Thessalonians 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind. Don't let anybody trouble your thinking, or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor as by letter from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't be troubled, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come on apostasy, a falling away, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, that's the Antichrist, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God, this is what the Antichrist will do, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what's about to happen in Jerusalem. Not going to be the true Christ. He already came. So when you build that temple, who you build it for? Need to be aware that you build it for the man of sin. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. Like, what's stopping this from happening? He said, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he that now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So God has the Holy Spirit stopping this from happening. Eventually, he'll take the Holy Spirit out and let it happen. So you and I need to be aware of that. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. That's how you know it ain't none of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one going to consume him with the breath of his mouth, some translations say, and with the destroy with the brightness of his coming. I bet Saul could relate to that. He's the one who wrote this. He knows about the brightness of Jesus. But he said he's going to destroy him. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. They're going to be deceived into thinking someone else is Messiah, that one they've been looking for 2,000 years, because you rejected the real one. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them strong delusion. See that? That they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want you to understand as we close is the message, this message is to alert the church to be aware of the delusions that are already present in the world and are creeping into the church.
Yes.
There are delusions in the world right now.
Right.
Yes. And they're creeping into the church.
Yes.
So you need to be aware. Such as ritualism.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And we can talk about each one of these, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Man-centered doctrine rather than the teaching of scripture alone.
Right.
You got a lot of that. All kinds of hogwash being preached over pulpits.
Yeah.
Propagation of aberrant lifestyles rather than godliness. People are saying, oh, it doesn't make any difference how messed up you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, but the scripture says such were some of you. God fixes people who are broken. He doesn't leave them broken.
Right.
He fixes people who are broken.
Yes.
He doesn't leave them broken.
Right.
And he can fix you if you let him do it.
Yes.
He's fixing me now.
Yes.
But I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm not broken. Yes, I am. I'm broken and I need fixing.
Yeah.
That's the difference, is the people who are saying no, they need to be fixed.
Yeah.
And we're asking God, keep the process up. I'm better than I was, but please don't stop, Lord.
Yeah.
Make me better, Lord.
Yeah.
Help me to be the man or woman you call me to be.
Yeah.
Help me not to deny your word and the truth.
Yeah.
See, calling evil good and good evil. Are people doing that now?
Yep.
Yes, they are. Acute materialism, that's going rampant in the world.
Yeah.
Some of this stuff is judgment from God.
Yes, it is.
Spread of pride and godlessness through mass social media.
Yeah.
You realize when one idea catches on, it goes everywhere now.
Yeah.
And people are, oh, they're doing it over there. And they ain't being struck with lightning.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it over here. Well, that's bad.
Yeah.
Used to be, that's why God gave tongues and scattered people,
right,
to stop that from being happening. Now we got social media that reverses that.
Yeah.
And people can get information even though it's not good information. And just because they're not being judged on the spot, it's running rampant. Control, and see, so all this kind of stuff here. We have the spread of pride and godlessness, we said, personal and governmental delusion, such as climate change. Now, who is it that thinks there's people who say that they're going to change the climate? You must be deluded. You have got to be deluded. What you going to do? Go hit the thermostat? Let me go turn down the thermostat. No. God is the only one who can control the climate.
Amen.
So what makes you think, why are you so deluded that you think you can change the climate? What is wrong with you? Some stuff wrong with people, I tell you. Some of it could be delusion that God sent because you won't believe the truth. That kind of stuff, and it's getting worse. Sexual mutilation and overall confusion. People talk about there's fluidity in sexuality. There's 79 different sexual genders. Are you kidding me? How about male and female created he them? The illusions of peace and safety. They're saying, oh, we're going to have peace and safety. Let's just get together on one accord. You know how many treaties people have made that have been broken? All of them.
All.
Everyone. There's not one that's kept and healed. Normalization of illicit drugs, etc. So on and so forth. They made the law talking about miracle marijuana. Now they're showing on the news where you get on a Facebook or Skype and see the doctor, and in 2 minutes you're approved. Oh, is that what that was for? See? And you know what? I'm not beating up on anybody, but that's true. That's where our culture's going. If you're dope, then you're not going to be thinking straight. If you're dope, I can sell you anything. You can be sold anything because you are under delusion. And the devil wants you not to be thinking clear. So I can get your soul. Ultimately, I want your soul.
That's right.
So if I can get you to buy anything else, don't make any difference what it is. Wealth.
Right.
Anything that you'll buy. I can sucker you, then I'm going to get you. And you're going to hell with me.
Yep.
That's his attitude.
Right.
But God has done what he did by giving his own son to keep you out of hell.
Yes.
And he loves you.
Yes, he does.
And he'll give you strength and victory,
yes,
over any negative thing that you may be dealing with.
Thank
you. There's some people in this room that knows that God can set you,
yeah,
free,
Lord,
from some stuff you used to do. know he can do it.
Hallelujah!
I know he can. He can easily do it if you just let him handle it. You know what the problem with me was? I was trying to handle it without him. That's why I failed and didn't get it done. One day I realized I'm not getting it done. I'm not getting no younger. God help me. I cried out. You know what? As soon as I cried out, he started breaking the chains. He can do it. You know what? I still got some chains. But I keep crying out, God, break the chains. Help me get free. See? And he'll do it. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. If you're not getting it, it's because you're not asking. Ask him and be steadfast and unmovable. That's what Paul said to the church. Be steadfast and unmovable. Always abounding. That means you're going to be growing in the work of the Lord. Keep on growing with God. Don't stop. Don't give up. We sing that song, we've come this far high. Doing what? Leaning on the Lord. See that? Trusting in his holy word. He never failed me yet. See, he never failed me. I might have failed him, but I gotta say, forgive me, Lord. And he picks me up, dusts me off, and sends me on my way again. See, that's the way it works. He ain't gonna let you down.
No way.
Let's stand for a minute if you can. Let's pray. Eternal God, we bless you and praise you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your son, Lord. You allowed all the sickness that's in us, every evil thought, every imagination. You placed it on Christ on the cross. You allowed him to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, chastised for our peace. That by his stripes we are healed. Father, we believe in him right now. We give you our heart, Lord. We give you our mind, Lord God. We give you our soul. Wash us today, God. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, you said that you allowed him to take the blows that you would otherwise give out to those who have broken your law. And Father, he stood in our place between heaven and earth. Said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Father, help Israel today. Help Israel to believe in the Messiah. Help all the Gentiles that hear my voice. Anybody in this room, anybody in the world that can hear my voice, cry in the wilderness. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be saved. Father, let them be saved today. Let them escape the wickedness coming up on the world. Give the children understanding, Lord. Break every yoke, oh God, and destroy every chain. We declare it in Jesus' name. Bless you today, Father, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said together, amen, amen, hallelujah.
Give the Lord praise.